Besties. We're your hosts, Kelsey.
And Nikki.
And this is For the Shelf Podcast.
Before we get started, this podcast is intended for a mature audience. Use of profanity is a definite, along with discussions of graphic content and mature sexual themes. Listener discretion is advised.
This week, we are discussing The Rogue Queen by Abigail Owens. But first, let's get into last week's bookish news. So we don't really have, too much news. There really wasn't a lot going on out in the bookish community. There was, two things to, briefly just touch on. So one, the Sophie Lark drama. So basically it came out that, one of her book series, is very problematic. And she has, some racist lines in there.
Yeah, some insensitive content there.
And then it came out that she put out a statement and basically said that her publisher was like, hey, you should probably remove this. And she's like, no, I stand on what I wrote. And then she released it. And then, of course, people found it and they were upset. And so then she came out with another statement that was like, hey, I take accountability. I fucked up, basically.
But she also came out and was like, oh, it was a different time then.
It was
2020.
Yeah, it was
come on.
Yeah. So, it wasn't a different time, but some of the things or the people that she talked about are now problematic, whereas back then
they weren't. Some disparaging comments about migrant field workers.
Yeah.
Or something. That's the one that I saw. And so that is certainly a very sensitive subject right now.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of always been a sensitive subject.
And then there was another comment about Elon Musk.
Oh, about reading his book or using his plans or something.
Yeah. And so I guess in 2020, yeah, he wasn't problematic, but in 2025, he definitely is. So, yeah. But yeah, so she's just kind of hiding out now and people are yeah, her books aren't that great anyways. I have Sophie Lark books. I haven't read any of them yet. I really wanted to read the Kingmaker series, but yeah, I think I'm gonna put that away for a while.
And table that. I did read one. If it's the same.
It's like the person.
The Purple Press. Yeah, I read the first book in that series. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't anything is spectacular. I have seen a lot of pretty funny TikToks where people are like, I have no more space on my shelf. And then they throw her books against the wall. And they're like, I made space.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard because, you've already given your money to her, And I'm not saying, that makes it okay. It definitely doesn't. But my only thing is, just don't throw perfectly good books away. Even if they're problematic authors put them in a free library or something. With some of hers, I don't know if hers are PG-13, but at least recycle them.
It's a hard line, guys. We approach this when we talk about Harry Potter, right? How we can't get behind the horrible things that JK has said about the trans community and it's this argument about do we separate the artist from the art, and it's so difficult. This is again the same thing, or with Neil Gaiman having come out as being a diddler, and then also Cormac McCarthy, which doesn't fit into any of these genres. Cormac McCarthy, who wrote the Border trilogy and The Road, the apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Cities of the Plain, all the pretty horses. It just came out in the past week or so that he had a child.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was his quote unquote muse, but it was implied that it was a child lover situation. So again, it's who's going to I don't know. I'm devil's advocate here. Who's going to be left to read? There's a lot of fucked up stuff out there.
I said this to you and I think Tim the other day. I wish shitty people wrote shitty books because then it would make it easy. Your book is shitty. I'm not going to read it.
But when they, like, with JK, it's so hard because Harry Potter was such a huge part of my childhood.
And so many people's
childhood. And, like, I grew up, like, not only did I read all the books, but then I'm, like, the same age as the characters, like, when the movies are being made. And so, like, it's a huge, like, it was a huge part of my life. And it's, yeah, it's so hard because, like, I love Harry Potter, the story for what it is, but I absolutely hate her as a human being.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to give her any money or support her or anything like that. Harry Potter still has a special place in my heart because I remember reading those to my son.
Yeah.
You know, before all her hateful comments.
Yeah.
So it's a hard thing, guys. I guess, do we shame the people that can separate the art from the artist? No.
No, I mean, listen, if, like, with the Sophie Lark thing, like, I still have my books. I haven't decided what I want to do with them yet. But if I see somebody, like, you know, I don't know. Like, if I see somebody out tomorrow reading a Sophie Lark book, am I going to, like, condemn them? No, they're free to read whatever they want, whether they know about what was happening or not. Like, yeah, the censorship, it's hard. I just... You know, do whatever you're comfortable with. It's the way that I look at it.
Right.
If you want to read these authors. If you don't, then you don't.
This is never going to be happy anyway.
No.
When you think about it. Like, because we just got a whole bunch of Neil Gaiman in at the shop. And I remember, was it you? I don't remember.
Yes.
I looked at someone and I said, what do I do with this? Do I put it on the shelf? Do I put it in the free box? Like, what?
Yeah.
You know, it's a dilemma. But yeah, you're gonna piss someone off either way, I guess. I mean, yeah. It's just a
damned if you do, damned if you don't. Okay, so the last like bookish news thing that I have for you. So remember when we talked about the Aquilipix and they were doing the Throne of Glass Legacy series and it was like trash, like it looked really, really bad.
I thought it was like Fairy Loot or something that was doing.
No. Well, Fairy Loot had one a while ago and then they scrapped that. But no, Aquilipix was doing another.
Oh, and it looked like the Mets. It was like orange and blue.
So they came out with their revised edition and they're going forward with their pre-orders and they're still not cute. They kept the same like edge display and it's not cute. It's not for me. Maybe other people would like it, but I like the original one that they did the best.
But also like how many different versions of ACOTAR / Throne of Glass can you have? Like, realistically.
So, like, I have, like, okay, I have all of the Aquilipix original ones that they did for Throne of Glass and that they did for ACOTAR. And then for Christmas, my husband bought me the Crescent City ones and then bought me, like, the Rainbow Edition of ACOTAR.
And those are pretty.
Yes, and also I still like the original ones better.
Right.
And so, like, I'm gonna keep them, but like this Throne of Glass like legacy box looks like I get it. Like they're trying to make a set that looks very similar to each other because like the Crescent City ones will match like this one, and then like with the actual ones. It's just not for me. I don't like it. I don't want it. I like the original ones that they did better. So I'm going to keep those. And I just have to be adamant with my husband. Like, no, I really don't want you to buy them for me. Like, I appreciate when, like, he gives me, like, special edition books. But, like, no, I really don't want
them. Well, I'll remember this. Because he sometimes consults with me beforehand.
So honey... I genuinely don't need them because he kept trying to get me the Fourth Wing and the Iron Flame ones, which are like similar in like the color structure, and I didn't like them. And he's like, "Are you sure I can?" And I'm like, "No. Like, I promise you, I don't. I don't want this." So yeah. But yeah, so I mean, you could go to their Instagram and you could take a look for yourself, and if there's something that you like, then they're available to pre-order. Okay, so now let's get into the spoiler-free part of our review.
I don't know if you said it already, but we're reviewing The Rogue King by Abigail Owen this week. And at the time of this recording, the Goodreads rating is sitting at a 3.96 with only 5,600 ratings. The book was published in 2019, and it's the first book in the Inferno Rising series. There are four books, each following a different couple of different sister situation. There is a companion series called Fire's Edge, and that's also four books. I don't know how they fit together by any means, but I do think that this series was re-released in 2024 with new covers.
Because when I saw that it was published in 2019, I was like, really? Because I remember, like, I bought them at Barnes & Noble, and they had the buy one, get one 50% off. And it was, like, new releases, and it was those. And I distinctly picked them up because I remembered Abigail Owen being on, like, this. That was right after a Polycon list came out, and I got the tickets. And I was like, oh, she's a Polycon author. Perfect. I'm going to pick those up. So they must have. They must have re-released them. I don't know if maybe it was indie beforehand.
I don't know, but I know that they got, regardless of whether it went from indie to trad, they got new covers.
Yeah, well, because I know she has a young adult series that was super popular. I think The Liar's Crown, I want to say. And this, I think, was like her first go at new adult.
And then she's got the Games Gods Play, which has been popular.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually a new release. And then the second one,
and I think is, I don't know if it's Red Tower or not, but it kind of came out in the same time as all those, like, Red Tower with the sprayed edges. And I'm not positive, but it definitely looks like one of those.
So I have the, no, it's Entangled.
Okay.
So Entangled is her publisher. But the second book to Games Gods Play comes out in September. So I'm excited for that. I still want to read
it. I want to read that book too.
Okay, so now let's get into the description of the book. Kazir Aman is a master at hiding. Who and what she is makes her a mark for the entire supernatural world, especially dragon shifters. To them, she's a treasure to be taken and claimed, a golden ticket to the highest throne. But she can't stop bursting into flames, and there's a sexy dragon shifter in town hunting for her. As a rogue dragon, Brand Astaroth has spent his life in the dark, shunned by his own kind, concealing his true identity. Only his dangerous reputation ensures his survival. Delivering a phoenix to the feared Blood King will bring him one step closer to the revenge he's waited centuries to take. No way is he letting the feisty beauty get away. But when Kazia sparks a white-hot need in him that's impossible to ignore, Brand begins to form a new plan. Claim her for himself and take back his birthright.
All right. So the genre for this is paranormal romance, obviously shifter romance. I suppose you could file it under fantasy romance, but mostly it's urban fantasy.
Yeah.
Romance.
Okay. The trigger warnings are attempted sexual assault, mild gore blood, fantasy violence, familial death, graphic language, sexual content, and that's from the author's website.
So these are specific to this book, but on her website, it's a general disclaimer for every book.
Yeah.
So this is her general disclaimer for every single book of hers. So it was not just specific to Rogue King.
So for tropes, it's insta-lust, fated mates, there's a love triangle, and touch her and die. It's pretty accurate.
But yeah, I have nothing to add there.
No.
All right, so we're going to go on to my favorite part.
Smell report.
So Cassia, our FMC, she smells like campfire and chocolate. So she's a s'more. She's a walking s'more, and she smells like that constantly. We're constantly reminded that that's what she smells like.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because they're like fire shifters. So, like,
chocolate makes you think of fire?
No, but the campfire smell. And,
okay.
And like, I mean, they're...
Yeah, sure. Well, we're going to circle back to that.
Oh, God.
Okay, so Cassia's mother smells like ambrosia. I meant to look up the ambrosia salad thing, because it's not like marshmallows and like fake, like the mandarin oranges and whatnot. I mean, I know that they mean like the fruit of the gods or whatever, but I just think of that marshmallow salad. Yeah, it's a I'm pretty sure it's a thing, ambrosia salad, and it's like mandarin oranges and marshmallows and like maybe maraschino cherries. Like, I'm pretty sure. And it's like, you know, like a weird like holiday thing that people eat.
What are you talking about?
You know,
like they usually end at like grandma's house.
Yeah, it sounds nasty. Yeah, I should have made it so that we could have like tried it for this, but
I didn't. Tell Nan.
You're like, I don't know.
Showed up to work the other day with Werther's butterscotch and mint, so you know.
Oh, my mother, Nan. Okay, so continuing on the small report, Cassia's mother is in the story so short, I don't even know why we made a small report.
Well, the prologue is about her.
Rhiannon, I'm going to guess that's the pronunciation, smells like cinnamon. She's a witch belonging to a rival dragon clan.
Yeah.
And then, so we're going to do something a little new. And I'm going to integrate this now into all of our pod reviews from now. And we're going to do a taste report.
Oh, God, please don't.
All right, this. No, I'm adding it because this was a thing. This was a thing that encompassed 2 days of my whole life. Okay? So, taste report. So, her food tastes spicy. Let's discuss this. Her spicy, she tastes spicy. He is going down there. He is going to town. Her spicy taste. What the fuck? I did ask the only man that I know if they taste spicy. He said no. We did then have a really big fight about the different tastes of vaginas, but we are not going to go into that. This fight lasted 2 days.
How about pH balance? I wouldn't go as far as to say spicy. Like, I don't know. Like, from personal experience, it depends on the pH balance. And what, you know, in their care routine down there. I don't know. It depends on, I guess, what they consider spicy.
Well, and this brings me to further continuing this, because then a whole bunch of romanticy books came in same day, like 20 minutes after the conversation about the spicy vagina. And I opened one up because I was trying to decide, do they be fucking? You know.
Yeah.
So, and then it's like, oh, and she tasted like honey. And I'm like,
yeah.
And then when you think about like the Jennifer Armentrout books, which I know you haven't read them, but she tastes like honeydew. He's constantly like, oh, your P word tastes like honeydew. And I don't think these things are accurate. I don't know. So anyway,
so it depends on not only the pH balance, but it also depends on their diet.
Right.
So,
but realistically, does it really taste like honey? This is the same thing as a fucking smell report.
Honey, like, I wouldn't go as far as honey. Spice, now that I'm thinking about it. I didn't try to, like, not be, like, super graphic. Because, like, my mom knows that I'm bisexual, but she also does listen to the podcast sometimes, so it's like I don't want her to whatever.
Miss Merchant, tune out for a second.
Cinnamon,
that's a spice.
Yeah. I've had the cinnamon before. Pineapple.
Well, you can get those gummies that make it taste like pineapple.
You just eat and drink pineapple, and it'll give you like a little like citrusy flavor to it. It can happen.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's been a rocky couple of days at my house.
you're not bisexual and you're not gay, so like you're never gonna know.
No, I'm sorry, guys. I don't know, and I'm never gonna know. That's why I had to ask. And I should have just asked the girls at work. I should have.
Yes.
I don't know why. I don't know.
You need to ask a man.
Yeah.
You never ask a man. That's why half of us are gay or bisexual.
Anyway, fair.
Moving on.
Fair. Moving on.
Spice. Okay, let's go to the spice.
I gave this 3 jalapenos. We had multiple spicy seeds that were descriptive, but like vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, not out of the ordinary. I mean, they do have to like make out for like, you know, medical reasons.
Yeah, yeah, because she will like catch everything on fire. Yeah. They never fully explain. That is one thing that it's like it's a big part of the book, but they never go through and explain why that is.
And so for those who are like, huh? So our main character, you know, it kind of bursts into flames, and if she's doing sexy things, it helps to contain the flames and to make the pain of the flames lessen.
Yeah, and then I guess she, like, so she has visions when this happens. And before she met Brand, she, like, she couldn't hear anything. She couldn't really remember anything because the pain was so bad. And then, like, after she met him and they were doing spicy things, like, they got easier for her to kind of tune into. But, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, that happens so she can have the vision. But then, yeah, they never, like, explain, I don't know. I guess it's just maybe to have the visions. But, I don't know. It was kind of like, it was just there all of a sudden. It was, like, the thing. Like, right. It was, like, the main part of, like, the plot at the very beginning. And then it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, like, it just kind of got better.
Okay, I'm not even going to do it justice by explaining. But it's like that audio where it's like someone's like describing a, like a book, like, I have to go in the woods and take care of my 18 sisters. And then the fairy, he finds me and I swallow and he swallows and I swallow. And he says, we have to make love in front of the king. And she's like, I climaxed for my family. Out the whole time. So I climaxed to save my family.
No, I have no idea what you're
Okay, I'm going to send it to you later. I'm sure I'll be able to find it on TikTok.
Anyways, yeah, I gave it a 3. It's, yeah, just kind of run-of-the-mill spicy scenes. He's a dragon shifter. She's a phoenix. There's a little bit of, like, fire play in it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, they're fire, you know, beings.
He makes his tongue warm.
Yeah, he, like, shoots flames in there, and, yeah, and, like, heats her up, and then there's, like, a bigger scene where they're, like, literally on fire. So there's a little bit of fire play in it, if that's triggering to you for whatever reason. But other than that, no, it's just, it's pretty standard for, you know, your romantic-y fantasy type thing, so. I would say the same thing for Sweet Pinos. I gave it 3.5. You know, they're the most specials of specials. You know, they, you know, the mate aspect of it. You know, they are instantly attracted to each other. The instantly like, oh, I love you, blah, blah, blah. We're mates. We're destined to be together. So. Do everything for each other, you know, like, would die to protect you.
Yeah. Stop breaking the mold here.
No.
Not by any means. Like, Abigail definitely follows the general conventions of a shifter romance. Like, it just is a fucking shifter romance. There weren't any, like, really great sweeping declarations of love, though. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes in romantic, you can pull out that one quote that's like, oh, and it like tugs on your heart. I didn't really have that here. I mean, you could feel like their chemistry and stuff, but like it didn't, like I didn't swoon. I wasn't swooning for their romance.
I guess there's one like big sweet pepper moment towards the end, which I'll save for like the spoiler part. But other than that, yeah, it was just pretty typical, you know, stuff. So,
which kind of brings us into the world building and plot. Again, I think it was all just kind of typical.
Yeah, so I've never read like a dragon shifter romance, so I don't really have a lot to compare it to.
But like, if I'm comparing it to like other, you know, like I've read werewolf books, I've read, you know, vampire, obviously I've read fae. It seems, yeah, like as if there's a book that has a mate like aspect to it, it basically follows the same like kind of trajectory. I mean, I did think it was cool that, you know, I wish that they would have gone more into more detail about her being a phoenix and like kind of expanded on that. Like, I know like she's like coming, just coming into her powers, and you know, they do talk about like a, like she can teleport, you know, she has these visions, she can like light herself on fire, but the
she doesn't fly though.
No, she actually hates flying. The descriptions were just, they weren't what I would was gonna hope that they would
like be. I couldn't even tell you what any of these characters look like, you know.
Brand was Godzilla.
Okay, he has long hair. That's the only thing. Maybe it was dark, you know, and he was
she
probably
has, chiseled. And she has red hair and icy blue eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's all I got. Yeah, there wasn't a ton of
like. I feel like I'm shitting on it, but like I just there wasn't. It was just so formulaic.
There was more. Well, and I see the thing is, it's like she went into decent detail on the dragons and like what they look like. But for the phoenix, like, and you know, and they're supposed to be so rare. Yeah, she, I don't know, I just kind of felt let down by that. I will say, like, I won't say that this book has good banter in it, but I did find it funny that she would call her, or she would call Brant basically everything besides a dragon.
Big lizard.
Yeah, lizard boy, and she even called him Godzilla. So I did think that that was pretty funny. But yeah, and then if we're like the actual world, like this takes place, like it starts off in the USA. I think they're in Wyoming or something. And then it takes place in Europe. So it's like real world locations, but obviously they're paranormal beings.
Right, centered around different mountain ranges. So in the beginning, you know, each dragon clan, I think there's like six, are located in like a different region.
Yeah, which I do like. So I have a physical copy of this book, and it does go into like, it has like a little glossary of like the dragon clans.
I want you guys to know Kelsey's tilting the book towards the microphone, like you guys can see it.
I'm tilting it to you.
Like, you're presenting it to the
mic. Person who's sitting across from
okay,
me.
Okay, sorry.
I'm tilting it towards you so you can see it. But so it has each of the dragon clans, and then it has, like, the king, the location, and, like, based in. So it'd be, like, the gold.
Okay, so when we're in Europe, we're spending our time in Scotland, but I didn't really get very many Scotland vibes. Like,
yeah.
Other than one guy has an accent.
Yeah. So it's that's about as descriptive as it gets, really. Yeah, so like the blue dragon clan, the king is Ladon, the location is Western Europe, based in Benevis, Scotland. Yeah, so this book does have multiple point of views, and not just from like the main characters. There's a couple of side characters that get
it. Did you read physical or did you audio?
I audio.
Okay, so one of my complaints, if you look on the chapter headings, it doesn't say whose point of view it is. It just says the chapter. Oh. And you have to, like, figure it out who's talking.
Yeah, no.
Which I thought was slightly annoying, because in the middle of a chapter, you know, she'll have a break, but then she'll go into someone else's, like, inner
mind. Yeah. I audiobooked it, because I still can't figure out if it's just, like, free on Audible, or if, like, I somehow... Like, it was just, like, randomly in my library at one point, and so I just started listening to it. I do not like the male narrator. I don't like him. Her narrator was fine, and, like, depending on, I guess, whose chapter it is, like, so it would be, like, Cassia's chapter, and then she would, like, the narrator would do everybody's parts.
like, even if Brand or, like, somebody else, like, came into the middle of the chapter, and it was, like, the same thing for, like, the guy, like, if it was Brand and, like, the other side characters, like, he would do, I didn't like his voice. I didn't like him. So,
interestingly enough, I did this physical, but then I started to panic, like, a little earlier in the week that I was like, oh my god, I'm not going to finish, so I tried to switch to audio. I enjoyed the female narrator, maybe even the male narrative. I enjoyed the tone of it via audiobook more than I enjoyed reading it, because you know how I hate familiar narrator.
Yeah.
Like, and this is familiar narrator. Like, she's, you know, and I also don't like urban fantasy. So, but I felt that it worked so much better in audio because it's like the way, you know, the way people talk in real life, which I'm totally fine with, apparently, when listening to it, but not when reading it.
Yeah.
So.
Terrible. He's just not my favorite narrator male out there. But, I mean, it wasn't bad. Like,
yeah. I didn't really, like, listen long enough to, like, care about their voices. It was the tone for me. I was like, oh, that's better. I don't hate that as much.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of in the world building, yeah, so we have the dragon shifters, there's vampires, there's werewolves, there's obviously a phoenix, there's humans. Yeah, they're, like, hide from the humans, kind of. Like, I don't, like, so in Europe, they make it seem like in Europe, the dragons and, like, the paranormal beings are, like, flushed out and, like, they exist and they know how to, like, harmonize, and they're, like, they're good. And then in the United States, they kind of make it seem like it's, like, the Wild Wild West out there, whereas, like, they've integrated the humans, and
they said that a lot of the American dragon shifters survived because they integrated as humans.
Yeah.
And the only thing, and I thought it was fucking weird, because we're shifting into dragons in the middle of goddamn parking lots, you know, at point in times, right? Or, like, on the friggin' road. The only way that she kind of explains this away is she said that when the dragons are in the sky, their bellies basically reflect what's above them. So, like, if you're looking up at, you wouldn't know. Basically, like, if it was the dragon would see through.
So, yes, but they also said that it's easier at night than it is during the day to camouflage. So they said they can do it during the day, but it's harder. Like, because, like, I guess you can, like, still see it. But, yeah, so, like, I guess in the United States, they don't have, like, they're not colonized, the dragon shifters over there. So, like, they don't have, like, clans. So in order to survive, they're all kind of like rogues almost, and they integrated with the humans. Whereas in Europe, they're like, fuck the humans. Like, we do our own thing in our clans.
I think they're also probably easier to disguise in Europe because of the large mountain ranges.
Yeah.
Where people don't necessarily, like, because, I mean, one of them is in, like, Norway or something. That's, like, really fucking cold. Like, do people really live in the mountains of Norway? Like, up at the very, very top? Probably not. I don't know.
Which makes sense.
I could fact check that, but, like,
which would make sense, like, if you have a large clan of dragon shifters, you know? Like,
right.
They're not exactly,
or, like, the mountains of, the mountain ranges of Scotland. I can't imagine that heavily populated.
And the way that they described it is they all live in, like, cave systems in the mountains. So, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so let's get into our overall ratings. I give it 3 stars. It wasn't the best book I've ever read. Wasn't a terrible book. Like I said, it was my first, like, book about dragon shifters. I thought the plot was decent. It wasn't, like, ridiculously long. Like, it wasn't super drawn out. The only thing I will say is I could have done without the attempt at a third act breakup.
Yeah, I hate a third.
I definitely could have done without that. Otherwise, I mean, it's a pretty quick, easy read. You know, nothing too difficult.
Now, I also gave it 3 stars. It was fine. Again, this is not my genre. I don't love an urban fantasy, really, in any capacity, with the exceptions of the Chronicles of Narnia. Only exception. I think that if you're into shifters and you're into paranormal romance, that this is probably, you know, a decent one.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely read worse paranormal urban fantasy books. So, yeah, I mean, she's a decent writer. Yeah, she's a decent writer. This is my first book by her.
Yeah, I have no qualms with her writing style, like, as in, like, their, like, error, grammatical errors or anything like that. Just, you know, familiar narrator. I just hate it. I just hate familiar narrator.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not going to go... I have this second book. I'm not going to immediately move it up to the top of my TBR to read it, but I'm also not turned off from reading the rest of the series or other books by her. You know, I still definitely plan on reading Gods That Games Play, and I like that about her. I like that she has, like, her niche. Like, she writes fantasy, but she can write for everybody. Like, if, yeah, like, this is not really our genre, so we might not continue with this series, but Games of Gods Play, like,
yeah, I'm for sure gonna read that.
Yeah, and, like, that's, like, mythological, and then, like, she even has The Liar's Crown, which I think is fae, and that's young adult, so she's, like, she's a pretty decent fantasy writer, so where she writes, you know, something kind of for everybody, is what I'm gathering, at least. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bad book. But yeah, I guess, yeah, if this is your thing, or you want to get into it, it's a good book to start with, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I would say. Okay, so that is going to be it for our spoiler part of our review. Join us next week for our review on Filthy Rich Vampires.
That's what we're reading?
Yeah.
Okay. I was waiting expectantly because I don't know what our next book was.
Filthy Rich Vampires? Yeah, by Geneva Lee. By Geneva Lee. That is the book for next week. That is what we will be reviewing.
Did you pick that together or did you just slide that in?
No, we picked that together. She's another Polycon author. Also, if you hear my dogs in the background, sorry. My husband's out of town, so they're locked in here because the baby's asleep. So, yeah. So, next week, Filthy Rich Vampires by Geneva Lee. And that might be the last book review we have before Polycon.
Polycon's in 3 weeks. 3 weeks from...
So, we might have one more then.
We might have one more.
We might have one more.
But otherwise, we'll be traveling and Polyconing. Oh, shush.
Which we'll try and do, like, an episode of a recap of our experience at a Polycon.
I think that'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So, no actual book review that week.
No. We might actually post pictures on our social media.
Yeah, we might. Heavy on that.
We might.
Yeah. Gotta get with our social media manager.
She's busy.
Okay, so we're now going to jump into the spoiler part of our review.
You guys still with us? Come backstage? I don't have too much to add to this spoiler review.
You know, there's really not a lot.
I do have 1/2 fucking burning questions. Maybe I missed it.
Okay.
But help me out, because you usually pick up details better than I do. At some point towards the end of the book, we've got our evil dragon king, right? And he's with his son that he fucking hates. And they're, like, in the dungeon. And they've got 2 prisoners in the dungeon.
Yeah.
And they make it a point to, like, mention the one prisoner by name. And then the one prisoner, like, grabs the other guy's face and shoves it into the bars or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, and there's another guy over here and we're keeping him alive. But we don't name him. Who the fuck are those guys? And why aren't they important?
So I only know the answer because I read the book descriptions for all 4 books.
Okay.
So in this instance, you're not supposed to know.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say anything.
We don't know, guys.
So
Kelsey, I can't comment or speculate. Other than I thought that was fucking annoying because, like, why are you going to introduce these characters And then they're like, nope, not going to tell you.
Yeah, so they do matter. And, like, the way that I...
I think it's her dad. Like, he's not really dead, and it's her dad in there. Don't tell me, but, like, that would be my guess.
No, the dad is very much dead. Like, that's... Like, that had to happen, because the only way that dragons can take over is if they physically kill the king, or the king passes on the, like, crown. So, right. No, that guy is for sure dead. No, so, and, like, I think that's also, these books are kind of standalone, but they're also not at the same time. So, like, Prithios, who's, like, the red dragon king, he's very much, like, the evil villain in all of the books. So, like, you do need to read them in order to, what I'm assuming, is follow, like, the plot in regards to him. But, yeah, they're all different. Like, there's one book for each sister. So
kind of like the A.K. Mumford series, where you have to read them in order to get, like, the...
Like, how the High Men Court?
Yeah.
So and that's why I said, like, if I didn't read the book descriptions for all four books, I wouldn't know. So, like, that's why I'm not going to say anything. But the characters that are in the jails do matter, but they just don't matter in regards to the first book. And I don't know, like, if their story continues on in the second book or whatever until it's, like, later on in the series. But yeah. So.
Okay. And then another question. So at the end, her sister walks in, right?
Yeah.
Random third sister walks in, and LaDawn makes a comment that she's got the black hair and white eyes of, or like ice colored eyes or whatever, of a white dragon shifter.
Which was her dad.
Okay. So
she's not a dragon shifter.
She's not a dragon shifter. Has she looked like that her whole life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe she, like,
none of the sisters look alike, besides their eyes. They all have icy blue eyes. They all have eyes of their father. But other than that, like, they all have different hair color and stuff like that. But they all have the blue eyes from the three descriptions that we got. So we got Kazia's description, we got Angelica's description, and we got Sylvia's description. I don't know if they went into detail, like, in the prologue of the fourth sister. I can't remember. But from my understanding, they all have icy blue eyes, and that comes from their dad. But they're all phoenixes.
Okay, but not necessarily, because Angelica doesn't have phoenix power. She doesn't have any powers.
That she, I guess, knows of. But, right.
So I thought maybe... Like, because I thought maybe she got sent to the wolves because she was going to have, like, wolf shifter powers.
No.
But I guess that doesn't make sense because the mom... Well, they don't know. They don't know because the mom phoenix died.
Right. And they don't come into their powers until it's passed on. Like, her mom...
Oh, like, so her phoenixes?
Yeah, so their mom died, and, like, when she was, like, shooting them away, that was, like, her giving, like... her power to each of her daughters. Like, normally there's only one phoenix, and so, like, you know that phoenix is going to have all of the powers, but in this instance there's four. So,
but what makes it would be possible that because her dad was a dragon shifter, that the other sister might not be a phoenix, might be a dragon shifter.
From my understanding, they're all phoenixes, but it's possible, because again, like, I mean, you'd have to, like, so the next book sets up for, you would assume, Sylvia and LaDawn. Like, right. That's going to be their story. All we know for sure from the end of this book is Kazia is a phoenix. She has the teleportation. She, like, turns into a phoenix, and she's maiden. And then we know that Angelica, at the end of this story, has no powers. And she may not. Because Angelica was the last born, even though they're quadruplets, she was the last one to be born, and Kazia was the first one to be born, so it makes sense that Kazia gets most of the powers. Unsure about the other two, Second book, you'll find out, I guess, about Sylvia.
I wonder really about the genetic possibility of four quadruplets being born, but all having different color hair.
Daughter's blonde and blue-eyed, and I'm...
Well, a lot of babies are born with blonde hair and blue eyes. And then it, darkens later.
Her spade.
Well, she's still very wee. She's still little.
She's...
Parker had blonde hair until he was, two, maybe 3 years old.
Her eyes aren't going to change, though. Her eyes are set. Her hair might darken.
Parker had, sun-bleached blonde hair for the first couple years.
Huh. I don't know. But, yeah.
Now he's going to be 18.
I know.
And he wants to move out. I'll tell you that later.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah, so I guess the last thing that's a spoiler, but not really, because they mention it at the very beginning of the book, but, in his monologue, is he's the rightful king of the gold dragons, but he, says that he didn't tell anybody that, and then...
We're talking about Brand, by the way.
Yeah, Brand. And then, when he makes Cassia, and LaDawn is, pissed about it, he tells LaDawn, what his real name is, and, yeah. Ta-da!
Surprise! The rogue is the king in this book called Rogue King.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not a plot twist by any means because, they mention it right out the gate. It's just, his secret. And it's, what leads to, the third act breakup because she has a vision of his past somehow. And then she's like, he only made me so he could get revenge and, be king or whatever. And I'm like, girl, this man has not lied to you from, the get-go. And, she's seen visions of him in the future where she's pregnant and they're, laughing in bed and they're having breakfast and they're, super happy. And I'm like, what? And it lasts for, 4 pages and then he, does his super sweet pinot, which also doesn't make sense because... Their mating mark, so when they mate, if their mark doesn't come on their neck, so it's the whole reason why this story takes place. It's because the mom had a mate, and the Prithios guy was like, that was supposed to be me, and he's a fucking asshole. And she's like, well, you're not my actual mate. And so, she mates the dude, right? But their brand doesn't form on the nape of their neck. In time, so, when Prithios kills the dad, she doesn't die. But it's, once they're mated, if one dies, the other one does. And so, in this, in the big battle where Bran is fighting Uther and he's trying to kill him so he can, claim to be king again. Because, again, you can only be king if you kill the previous one if it's not passed down to you. It's Papa. He, goes and shields her from, all the other dragons who are trying to attack her and then ends up, dying. Why would he do that? Because he's like, oh, I'm saving her, I don't care. But, and you both know that your brand's popped up because they felt it. So, by him sacrificing himself, he then was going to kill her. That sacrifices her because then, she would have died.
Oh, I thought their marks happened after that.
No, they happened right before that.
Okay, well.
So she, theoretically, she would have died because he died. But she's a phoenix, so she cries on him, and then he's magically healed.
Right, because phoenix tears are healing.
Yeah. But neither one of them, knew that for sure. It was stupid. I don't know. It was a plot hole.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I asked my questions.
Yeah, and there wasn't a lot to, this... there wasn't a lot of spoilers in this book. Because, yeah, it was all pretty straightforward. Half of it tells you it in the...
Title.
In the title and in the book blurb. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a decent book. It wasn't my favorite. It wasn't the worst thing I ever read.
Yeah.
It wasn't even the worst thing I read, this year.
I loved any of our books this year.
Yeah, well, because... reading a lot of book talk books, and book talk isn't always accurate with good books.
That is true.
Yeah,
we'll find one. We'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed How Does It Feel? You didn't, but I did. I enjoyed that.
That was fine.
and Deep End. I read some good books.
Deep End was fine. It just...
They haven't been for you.
They haven't been for me. I haven't hated them. On that note...
Wait, bro. Shouldn't take that back. They won't wake her up. Because when we were in the hurricane, like when the hurricanes, we had to evacuate to the hotel room, and the power went out and the fire alarm went off, broke above her like crib, her rollaway crib, didn't even flinch. We went off twice. Girl can sleep through anything. Unless it's nap time.
Or I can also sleep through anything.
Or I come home. It's like she can smell when I arrive.
Smell report. Mom's home.
Yeah.
That's cute.
She wakes up and then he's like, gotta go bye. Anyways, okay. Join us next week for our review of Filthy Rich Vampires by Geneva Lee.
Bye, book besties.